Audacity.
Prime Minister Mia Mottley says despite having swept the polls, she wants to ensure that democracy prevails in Barbados. That and more in today's edition of the Caribbean News Roundup. I am Ken Richards. In Bridgetown, the Barbados Amendment Bill was read at the official opening of Parliament on Friday. The bill is to be debated in the lower house tomorrow Tuesday and the upper house on Wednesday. Prime Minister Mia Mottley has meanwhile defended her recent offer of two senators to the main opposition Democratic Labour Party, as Barbados Today reports.
The Prime Minister said despite being heavily criticised by the Democratic Labour Party's interim president Steve Blackett for offering that party the opportunity to nominate two opposition senators, she's once again extending the olive branch given what's at stake.
This government has chosen to be able to give the party that has the second largest amount of votes in the election the right to be able to choose two senators. And in spite of the fact that the president of the Democratic Party says he needs that from me and I can't offer him anything, let us be very clear. We are thankful to the people of Barbados for the mandate that they've given this government. It is as comprehensive and complete a mandate as possible. But we believe that we have an obligation to our democracy and to the deepening and protection of our democracy to be able to afford the opportunity to the party receiving the second highest number of votes, the opportunity to not just appoint two senators, but if persons were reflecting and knew what they were talking about, they would know that what is at stake is not just simply the appointment of two senators. What is at stake as well is the appointment of a number of commissions under the Constitution, from the Electoral and Boundaries Commission that will come up during the course of the next 5 years, to the various services commission, the Administrative and General Services Commission, the Protective Services Commission, the Judicial Legal Services Commission, and a whole host of others. Now, under the current provisions of the Constitution, Section 75, it would mean that I would have the right as Prime Minister to choose all of those people. And as much as I know that I will do it in fairness and to protect the public interest, I do not believe that I should do so. And to that extent, therefore, we are going to afford them the opportunity to not only be able to choose the two senators, but by extension, to be able to have a say in the appointment of the different commissions.
If the Democratic Labour Party fails to accept the two seats, Attorney General Dale Marshall says government will pass on the offer.
If that party refuses to either facilitate the consultation or to participate in the consultation, then Her Excellency or the Prime Minister, as the case may be, will go to the next party that achieves the next highest number of votes. And when we exhaust that, then unfortunately you must act, and it is at that point that you would then rely on your own discretion.
Which is the current situation under Section 75 now. But as I said, I do not feel that this country, and I know that the people of Barbados will agree with me, that I should not have the right to appoint all five members of the Electoral and Boundaries Commission when it comes up, and I should not have the right to just appoint all members of the Services Commission without consulting the other side or the party that got the other votes.
In today's news package, we take another look at the new quarry project in Richmond, St. Vincent, that has angered farmers in the area. Residents who attended a quarry information meeting were vocal in their displeasure. They included farmers affected by the quarry project who expressed concern that work on the quarry at Richmond began on 29 January without the community being notified. The residents expressed their views during a public information session with their MP, Minister of Tourism and Sustainable Development, Carlos James, and Minister of Agriculture and Rural Transformation, Saboto Caesar, in Chateau Belair on 3rd February. Kenton Chance of Eyewitness News covered that meeting.
What happened to the people of Chateau Belair and Fethews? What happened? Because we go to Walibo School, we can't understand. Because we went to the University of Chateau Belair, we can't understand. Well, we have street sense.
From 1971 up until 1979, we inhale sulfur, sulfur. Because that is the direction of the wind coming over. You have that project over there with the dust. And for 30 years.
And if Mr. Kenton did not put this
an eyewitness news. This meeting would not happen.
We are going to ensure, as a government, as a responsible government, we're going to ensure that this project is done in a way that is sustainable for all.
And if our parliamentary representative, Mr. James, is really for us, he'd want to step back a little bit.
And I'm not going to take the people of North Dewood on a road that is not going to bear any fruits or benefit to them.
Today, the 3rd of February, 2022, about 70 residents of North Leeward attended a public information session here. In attendance was their MP, Carlos James, and Minister of Agriculture, Sabota Caesar, as well as Mr. Richard Branch, a representative of Rena Construction, which would be operating the quarry here in the community.
The chief surveyor and the surveyors cannot stay in Kingston and do the assessments as it pertains to the different plots. They have to actually come on the land and they have to drop the different points, and it is going to take some time. So I just want to clear that up. The works that you're seeing there now, those are not works for mining. That is not mining the quarry. That is the preparatory work.
And I am saying, for us to better understand what is happening to us, we need to see the whole the study to be able to understand it. Mr. James spoke about where certain things will be laid out. We don't know. We are just guessing, and it is an insult to us to have us guessing.
The health and the cultural respect of the people, where is your responsibility? I am telling you, we got to fight this thing here. You got something in litigation, class action. You understand? We're going to tie up this thing with 1,000 cases in the magistrate courts. Watch me.
The Bahamas gauging its poverty levels, reports our News TV.
47% of Bahamians are living below the poverty line, according to Minister for the Public Service and Foreign Affairs, Fred Mitchell.
And as it relates to the public service, the minister says some of 47% of Bahamians are living under the poverty line.
It reflects in the demands which people make, the contracts that they need, the fact that they simply need jobs, that they don't have food to eat, they can't buy school uniforms for the children, can't bury the dead.
The Ghana government has been praised for catering for the country's indigenous people in the 2022 budget, as Guyana News Source reported.
The leader of the Liberty and Justice Party and Joint List representative in the National Assembly, Lennox Schumann, has commended the government on its 2022 budget, indicating that under the budget, he believes that the country's indigenous people will see a better life. The opposition MP applauded the government and its move to support more hinterland projects while looking out for the welfare of the indigenous people.
Regardless of who sits in the big house, the government at the end of the day is the government. It is a superstructure that needs urgent recalibration in order to offer meaningful support to the indigenous peoples and all Guyanese.
Mr. Schumann said when good initiatives are unveiled by the government, those initiatives ought to be commended.
Youngsters in one Jamaican community said although they are skilled, they are not getting jobs and as a result are turning to crime. It's a dilemma that's been chronicled by TVJ News.
Trained, but no jobs. That's what many young people in the community of Russia in Westmoreland say they are facing. Many of them have turned to fast and easy ways of making money, which in many cases have led to their demise.
The establishment of a zone of special operations in Westmoreland weeks ago appeared to have put a cap on the number of murders in the parish. The police say lottery scamming is at the heart of the gang killings. The residents agree, but here's the problem. The people tell us that jobs are hard to find, therefore scamming is the fastest and easiest way to make money. They say even skilled persons are facing difficulties finding employment. Nikisha Gade is one of them. She says she has participated in several training programs through the Jamaica Social Investment Fund, JSIF, and the Social Development Commission, SDC. Numerous job applications after, still no luck.
I send out, like in this, November last year, I send out three In October last year, which was 2021, I sent out 3 also. And for January this year, I already sent out 2.
And you haven't got any call back at all?
No, none whatsoever.
And she's not the only one. Ricardo Fleming, who is an active resident in the Russia community, says there are many others like Miss Gale.
Our community have been socially served by the government in some short-term programs, right? But it's nothing that gives the youth the opportunity to actually make themselves better in the right way. So at the end of the day, person will gravitate to what feed them. And the scamming is what feed many Jamaicans right now.
Tell us where the guns are appealed from the Jamaican Prime Minister Andrew Holness. This report by CVM News.
Prime Minister Andrew Holness says the recent wave of success by law enforcement in seizing dozens of illegal weapons is a reflection of their relentless pursuit to rid the streets of gun violence.
He continues the appeal for crime producers to turn in their illegal firearms.
Tell us what you know about the guns. Give up the guns. Call your police officer that you trust and tell them where the guns are. And better yet, tell us who are the gunmen.
PM Holness announced that a new firearms bill will be taken to Parliament soon, creating several new offences against an illegal gun.
What's fueling the current increase in the price of flour in Dominica? Here's Roy Sanford.
The tension and fear of war between Russia and the Ukraine may sound far away. However, its ripple effect is being felt here in the Caribbean, with the government of Dominica saying that there is a rise in the price of flour because of it. Director of Trade Marvin Walter told Kyrie FM that the price of bread has increased by at least 25% on the island. Flour is produced from wheat, and according to Walter, Russia produces 20% of the world's wheat, while the Ukraine, 10%. He pointed out that the tension has caused what he described as nervousness on the international market, and based on research done by the Ministry of Trade, this was one of the factors leading to the rise in prices. Walter gave the example of the price of baker's flour, which comes from the East Caribbean flour mills, which he said has risen by 31.9% for a 100-pound bag.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Monday, February 7th. I am Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. At 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Let's get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio.